2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Were easy to forget, that ye may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers or mockers, walking after their own lusts. I even seen the president of our nation making some very ungodly comments the other day nationally. Said if we are to run our Bible by the country, do we run it by the old or do we run it by the new? And laugh. Well, let me tell you, every verse in it would do good to run our country. The Bible said in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness. But is, I'm glad this word's in the Bible, is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You may be seated this morning. I'd like to preach out of verse number 4 on where is the promise of His coming. And I want to talk to you a few minutes today on the Lord's return. Seems like a fairy tale in the day we live. Seems like amongst all the hustle and the bustle, we forgot in a world that's gone wrong what Jesus said. He said that this world was reserved, it was put on hold, that He had put it in store to be kindling. That property you own is going to burn. That house that you work in, your time away, it's going to burn. The only thing that's going to last is what we send ahead. I'm glad we can be saved by grace through faith. I want you to notice a few points on this topic today. First of all, there is the promise of the Lord's return. Look in verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The promise of the Lord's return. We find in the book of Acts, here's the early church. The Lord Jesus is being taken out of the way. He went on a rugged cross and died. And did you hear this? The third day He got up. We're the only religion, that of Christianity, that has a Savior that lived. We're the only religion, that of Christianity, that has a Savior that can save. Because He got out of the grave. In Acts 1, verse 10, the Bible said, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. There's the promise of the Lord's return, and we see His description. He said, as you've seen Him go, you'll see Him return. Then not only the description of the Lord's return, but look in Matthew chapter number 24 at the direction of the Lord's return. Brother Ken, where is He coming? Oh, we can know where He's coming. We just don't know when He's coming. I hear a lot of folks putting a date on things. Well, He never put a date on nothing. He just said, be ready because I'm a coming back. And I still believe that this morning. Matthew 24 and 27, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Tell you what, you can be looking toward the eastern sky. Every time it sort of clouds up or it gets a looking a little different toward the east, my hope goes to rising in me. And can I tell you, we see the promise of the Lord's return, not only His description, but His direction. He's coming from the east, the eastern sky. And then you'll notice in Matthew 24, verse 36, not only the description and the direction, but you'll notice there some discussion of the Lord's return. Matthew 24 and 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Watch this. Until the day of the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not till the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come. He would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now there's the promise of the Lord's return. We see the description and the direction, but there we have the discussion. He says in the days of Noah, He said everything was going good till it started raining and they missed the boat. And the laughing stopped, neighbor. The partying was over. It's coming a day for those that know not Christ. The party will be over. It said it continued until the flood came. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming. Are you going? Now the promise of the Lord's return. Number two, there's a parable of the Lord's return. In Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 was foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh.'" Not only the promise of the Lord's return, but there's the parable of the Lord's return. Notice there were virgins. They all had good morals. Can I tell you, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. You say, "Preacher, I'm a good person." Yeah, but your goodness won't get you to heaven. The Bible said we must be born again. Just because your mom and dad is going to heaven don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because your wife's going to heaven, sir, don't mean you going to heaven. Ma'am, just because your husband's going to heaven don't mean you're going to heaven. And so heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus is screaming. He's thundering with the voice, "Get ready! He's coming." Well, I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you how to be ready. Now the Lord's return, it seems like something so old-fashioned. Preacher, now this is 2012, fixing to be 2013, may not make it to the calendar rolls. Jesus is coming. And whether you want to believe this or not, He's coming and you're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him by the way of the grave or by the way of the cloud. You're going to meet Jesus. Nobody's going to escape the meeting. And so we find this parable of the Lord's return. Now, they were virgins. They all had good morals. But in verse 6, there was a visitor at the midnight hour. Then you'll notice there were some voices in 7 through 9. But then in 8 through 12, there was a verdict. The door was shut. I want to ask you something. There was 8 people saved in the day of the flood, according to the book of Peter. The Bible said Noah was the 8th person saved by water in the flood. Now, if there was only 8 people saved in that flood, and there's been estimation of how many people was there and was destroyed, you say, well, how could a God do that to people if a God of love, how could a God destroy people that really loves them? Let me tell you, God don't do that. People does that to themselves. God made a way. He had a preacher to build a boat, and they didn't get on, and they was left behind, and the door was shut. It's coming a day, honey, when the New Testament church, the door's going to be shut, and you'll be left behind. God's not putting you in hell. You're sending yourself to hell. You really believe there's a heaven? Well, sure, I believe it's a heaven. Well, if you believe there's a heaven, you better get to believing in a hell. Now, there's the promise of the Lord's return, and there's a parable. He said, at midnight, He said, people will be crying, "Lord, Lord, let me in." He said, "No, it's too late. You had your chance." Now, number 3, not only the promise and the parable, but look at the pointing of the Lord's return. Now, this Bible is the most amazing thing that you've had in your hand all week. This is an amazing instrument. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. This, you know what this is doing? This Bible that has been written for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Did you know it's just like reading a newspaper according to November 25, 2012? It's just unfolding right in our eyes. This is not out of date, neighbor. It's right to date. Let me show you how to date it is. You see the promise of His return and the parable of His return, but look at the pointing of His return. Now, you'll notice in Matthew 24, He said some things that happened. The Bible said in verse number 4, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many." There will be many false messiahs in Christ. How many people have been led astray by false messiahs? There's one way to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me," is what Jesus said. All roads don't lead to heaven. Now, look in verse 6. He said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. Be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Then verse 7, He said, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famine and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Great famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Then in verse 8, but watch this, "These are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." We live in a day and hour when every man does that which is right in their own eyes. Boy, you offend people by preaching the Word of God. Let me tell you, preachers didn't write the Bible. They just read the Bible. It's no sense in you getting out of sort at me. I didn't write it. I just read it loud. Then verse 11, watch. He said, "In the last days there will be deception, will be rampant. Many false prophets shall rise and will deceive many." And then verse 12, watch this, "increase in iniquity. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I looked this up real briefly this morning. I got to hurry and get along with the last point. But the porn industry in America is $13.3 billion annually. Now, the Bible said the iniquity shall abound. There are things, America don't blush anymore. You see, $13.3 billion is spent annually on pornography in America. Did you know that U.S. porn revenues exceed combined sales of ABC, CBS, and NBC networks? That's a lot of looking at filth. That's a lot of iniquity. Sex sales. That's what they say. Iniquity. Things going on. Have you ever seen the day police officers are serving and living in a time that they've never seen so many pedophiles, child molesters? Iniquity shall abound. Things that we knew nothing about 50 years ago are prevalent in the day and hour. Nobody blushes anymore. Iniquity would abound. And then in verse number 12, not only an increase in iniquity, but look at this apostasy and love growing cold. The Bible said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." I've never seen such a lethargic church generation in all of my life. I mean, it seems like that complacency is unbelievable. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. You say, "Preacher, how come you preaching all this stuff?" Because it's my job. You've not got a politician, you've got a preacher. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come," stressful times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Boy, we can do it without you, God. I done seen what we can do. I'd love to get our nation back to God. Unthankful. Everybody owes somebody something. Let me tell you something. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Get off your backside and go to work. Taxes is high enough. You sitting around drinking your Budweiser, smoking your Marlboro, and I'm keeping you up. Everybody's singing a done me wrong song, a handout. Let me tell you, honey, this Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Boy, increase in iniquity. Look at this, unthankful, unholy. You see children just flippantly say anything to parents. We need to get back to country raising. A good booyah would help a lot of young'uns. But oh Lord, you're going to warp them kids if you spank them. I tell you, the young'uns don't need a whooping. The mom and daddies need a whooping. Oh, you ought not say that, preacher. You little liberal tree-hugging something. You'll probably vote for them to take our guns away, won't you? Then you're going to get you a slingshot and a pocket of marbles. Watch this. Without natural affection. God's way of marriage is still one man and one woman. Man and man do not reproduce, neither does woman and woman reproduce. God's way of marriage of the home is opposite sex to be married. Traitors. Heady, high-minded. Boy, watch this. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I'm fixing to let you go in a minute, but I'm going to tell you the truth for a while I got you. My son-in-laws love sports. I wouldn't give you a dollar for every football in America. But I love deer hunting and I love playing golf and it's things I do love and you just leave me alone. But I notice how a crowd is set out and they pack a stadium and I mean it can be a blizzard and they sitting there charging, go on, go on, go. Lovers of pleasure. Entertainment. Churches now, if they're not giving you something or a laser show, you think you ain't got, ain't think you hadn't been a church. What happened to old time preaching? Lovers of pleasure. Well, let's just call off our service Sunday night. Let's just call off Wednesday night. Well, let's just go to church once a month. This thing will seat, what, 500? You know what you do? Just what you want to do. And quit giving me your pity party stories that don't add up. Amen. Won't you just say I'm sorry and won't come to church? That'd be so refreshing. Where are you being? I'm sorry, preacher, I'm just stupid. Wouldn't that be refreshing? No! We make up excuses. Lovers of pleasures! Let's go to the river. Let's get in the deer stand. Man, that frost this morning, the devil's telling me the whole morning, yo, that you got 95 bucks running by your stand this morning, cold this morning, you going to church. Let me tell you, God will let me kill one on full moon, 110 degrees, if He wants me to kill one. I believe if I just put Him first, He'll give me some desires of my heart. Lovers of pleasures. Well, I didn't feel like it. Well, did anybody feel like getting up going to work Monday? Y'all are so... Didn't feel like it. Well, I'd hate to know I was running on feelings. Because I wouldn't be here half the time It's bad and you get up and your shadow's hurting. My wife picked up something this morning out of the pantry. I didn't think she was going to get out of the pantry. Just hurting all over. Why don't we just realize it's in the last days and we're more lovers of pleasures than we are the things of God? Ouch. Last days. Jesus said it be this way. Watch this, verse 7. Ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. We've never been this smart, but we've never been this ignorant. I mean, we got some of the smartest people that it's ever been, the most ignorant people. I mean, they can split atoms. They can put men on the moon, but nobody can plow a mule no more. Nobody hardly knows what it is to get a shotgun, go out yonder and kick a rabbit up out of a brush pile, kill him, clean him, cook him, and really live. Amen. You young'uns, I don't know what you'd do if power went out and you had to build a fire. You'd just freeze to death. What are you saying? We're in the last days. But you remember this. We best go home. Jesus is coming. Now there's the promise of His return. The parable of His return. There's the pointing of His return. Brother Michael, you look at this. 2 Peter 3 and 10. Look at the passion of the Lord's return. We ought to be so excited with what's going on with our country. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, let me tell you something. The Obama administration, they're just bringing in the last days fulfillment prophecy. You better be getting your stuff took care of. This thing is winding down. You know why I know? Because I read this book. In the last days, perilous times shall wax worse and worse. Things going on right now, your grandparents would roll over in the grave if they knew what was happening in our community. Passion of the Lord's return. Peter's right now, and look what he says. He says in verse number 12 of 2 Peter 3, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God. The passion of the Lord's return. Not only should we be living like it, he said in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, that's behavior, and godliness. I'd hate to know the Lord was going to find me the way He's going to find some of you. I'd hate to know that I've not got myself right with God, because how He finds us is the way He's going to keep us. Now watch this, the passion, the living, and then there in verse 12 is the looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In verse 14, then there's the leaving. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found with Him at peace, without spot, and blameless. We ought to be living like He's coming today. Matter of fact, I want to ask you something. My insurance is all due. September comes in at one time. I've got my house insured, got my car insured. A few things that I'm private to, I've got them insured. You know why I don't want to lose them? Did you know if I don't pay the bill that I lose the policy? Did you know that 2,000 years ago the Lord Jesus paid a policy in full for you to get you out of hell? And if you don't accept that of what He's given for you, then He has no other motive but to do what He said He would do. Now, there's the promise of the Lord's return. There's the parable of the Lord's return. There's the pointing of the Lord's return. Signs of the time says He's coming pretty quick. And then there's a passion of the Lord's return. Every time we hear a song about Him coming, we ought to get excited as the saints of God. But I want to close with this last and this most important statement. I want Miss Julie to come play for me this morning and sing something. I want you to think about the protection of the Lord's return. You know, when I was a lost man, the return of the Lord used to scare me to death. And I'll be honest with you, as a saved man, it ought to scare me to death because how He finds me, the way He's going to keep me. I know we're not perfect, but I sure am glad we can get forgiveness of our sins. But there's a protection of the Lord's return. Now, I said all that to say this. If the Lord come back today, if we knew this evening at 4 o'clock He was coming, what would you do right now? Right now, what would you do? If we knew the Lord was coming at 4 o'clock, and He could. He could. He could come. He could come before I get this last point out of my mouth. What would you do? Why are you so caught up in temporal things and you not worried about your soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his only soul? What shall it profit you? He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, that spiritually alive and remain physically alive unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep or that are dead. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then here it is again. Then we which are alive spiritually and remain physically shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now comfort one another with these words. Okay, what happens to the group that is alive physically, but they've not been alive spiritually? They're left. There's 7 years of tribulation coming, according to this book says, like nobody's never known. Judgment's coming. You say, well, preacher, the house is full of visitors. You're going to run them all off. Well, let me tell you what I'd rather do. I'd rather tell people the truth. I'd rather tell you something you've never heard that's so than anything that I've ever done in my life. Did you know you can be saved? What are you waiting on? Why will you tarry? Why do you linger? Jesus is coming. And you can be prepared for His coming. You know how? It's simple. Put your faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus. If you took a survey to America today, it would amaze you how many things that you would hear how to get to heaven. This book says there's one way to get there. That's through His Son. Now this is it. You listen to me and you listen well. This is the gospel. Jesus hung on a cross. He died for your sin and my sin. He died. The third day He got up out of the grave. He ascended back to heaven to the Father. And He sits there on the right-hand side of the throne of God making intercession for man today. Every sinner that will come to Him, you know what He does? He reaches up to the Father. And Brother Tim, He grabs them by the hand. And He says, Father, there's yours. I'm the intercessor. People's trying to work to get there, be good to get there, but I sure am glad we're saved by grace through faith. Amen. Now, preacher, I want you to simplify it and tell me something. I know I'm going to meet God, preacher. I know I'm going to meet God. You ain't got to tell me that. My conscience tells me I'm going to meet God. I'm scared of meeting God. Well, let me tell you something. Why don't you get all of that seen about today and come trust His Son to get you to heaven? By faith. By faith. Not by sight. I'll never forget that Saturday when He came where I lived. told me the gospel, the old preacher. Went to church the next Sunday. Brother Leon, I didn't even know what he said. Brother Tim had no idea even what he preached. I was under such conviction. But I tell you what I done that changed my life. I stepped toward Christ. And I simply said this. Ma'am, this is all I said. Lord, save me. Miss Eva's here today. A couple of months back, did you know that she had totally went out of this world? Didn't know anybody. God let her wake up. Burdened me to go see her in the hospital. Walked in a room. There she's sitting up in her bed. Sister, you remember when all hope was gone, your mama wouldn't make it? Jesus let her woke up. I leaned over her bed. I said, Miss Eva, do you want to be saved? She said, I sure do. I said, will you trust Christ to be your Savior? She said, I sure will. And she prayed right there and God saved her up there in Tanner Hospital in that bed. What'd she do? She came to Christ. You can be prepared for His coming. But you'll have to trust Him. Preacher, I can't live it. I can't either. The best I try, Brother Gerald, I fail. But I'm making progress. Now my sinning bothers me, Brother Gerald. Used to didn't bother me. If you'll come to Christ this morning, what will people think? Don't matter what they think.